This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You're listening to The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King.
Yeah, that was a lot of comedic gold just down the river right
there. Come on.
So what, she was on the mat. Nellie was on the mat.
Nellie was on the mat. And she tooted.
Yeah.
And then she looked at me like I did it. And then she moved out of that spot like, well, I can't sit there anymore. She farted.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny? Is like dogs are shocked when they do that, right? Like they're
like, ooh, they're like, who was that?
What just happened?
Yeah.
It's what if we?
They look at you and they go, excuse you.
Yeah. Can you imagine if humans were like that? Where we're like,
they are. Your dad and my dad both.
Where did that come from? What was that?
Your father and our father both would do that and then go, why'd you do that? And walk off on you.
Carlos did that to me in front of the CEO of the institution that I work at. At the Christmas party.
Lighten the mood.
Yeah.
He farted aloud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the CEO looked around and Carlos uses my name and he goes, Christina. That's unreal. Unreal.
Sometimes that kind of stuff grounds you. Like people all of a sudden are like, okay.
Oh, she's human.
I can be normal.
There's so much more, like my tardiness.
People like to be normal around other people. That makes me human.
I think we should like touch on the fact that you guys couldn't say fart growing up.
I feel weird saying it now.
Yeah.
Does it feel vulgar?
Dirty mouth.
Does it feel vulgar?
If Pastor Lynette was here to this day, I'm 38, she would say, wow, okay.
And what do you guys call it?
Fluffy.
Fluffy. She would go, did you just fluffy?
Yeah.
Did you just fluffy in here? You, I can smell it.
You were a toot household. You
yeah.
tooted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you just toot?
They had a Filipino person in the family for a while that
Heidi's
they
did.
Just adapted yeah. to the Filipino cuss words for pooping and stuff.
Well, we don't know what might be cussing.
I don't know. I've said it to some Filipino people and they're like,
so do you think it's like the SH word and not the PO word?
I'm wondering.
Well, how bad is the SH word? Heidi said it on the podcast.
So I was told.
She didn't.
I was told like by this person, never say ungoy in front of a Filipino person because it's monkey. And like, I guess that's a really
derogatory
thing that they'll call each other if they're angry.
Oh, I see.
But they seem to be more upset when I said tahi, which is the poop word, than ungoy. And so these people have set me up for failure.
We have listeners in the Philippines.
Well, if I just said something horrible, one, I'm going to repent to Jesus. And then two, you should go in the comments and tell us if that should never be uttered ever again.
Yeah, we need to know. Inquiring minds.
And three,
Heidi's looking something.
Manny
up,
Pacquiao is my favorite boxer.
It. He's a Christian.
My entire life. Yes, he is. I follow him every Sunday morning. They take a picture of him and his family before church.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the gym this morning, and there was a, shall we call it a slew? A herd of youths because of your son. God bless him.
What?
There was you have to be careful. If you ever want to do something where you're like, where you're maybe body conscious or something,
not in he this
turns
family.
Everything into a like a group event.
Sure does.
So it's like, hey, I got to do I got to do sit-ups until I'm ready for the presidential fitness challenge. And he's going to invite like 30 people to come watch you.
Yeah.
And then he's going to act like he didn't. Well, I just mentioned it to him.
Yeah. That's my life in a nutshell. So I show up to the gym looking like I'm at the gym to be at the gym.
Yeah.
No makeup. A stupid outfit.
He comes cloned.
Probably.
100%
also, he's like, pick me up at 5:45, and I'm there at 5:45, and he's like, be right there, fill in my water. 28 minutes later.
Oh my gosh.
This morning, he's like,
he was
I'm like, I'm
filling
ready.
His water in the ice bath while he's sitting in it.
This morning, I go, I'm ready. And he was, okay, cool, fill in my water. 13 minutes, we live 28 seconds away. 13 minutes late, I was like outdoors because I was thinking he was going to fly. He insists on driving because he knows how his car handles and snow. But anyway, we get there. All this to say, we went to the gym and the youths, do you know what they did? You know what they did? And by the way, going to the gym, that was all my idea.
Yeah.
They took a picture without me.
Wow.
Yeah that's life.
Wow. I would have said something.
Mm-hmm. I did later. They got some, presumably, Filipino man in the background. He was in the photo.
Where's the photo? I haven't seen it.
I would show you, but I can't.
It's probably posted in a private chat that none of us are a part of. Because we're old dinosaurs.
Tahi does mean poo.
Yeah, but how did they use it?
Poo. It said it doesn't have any English vulgar type
equivalent.
Meaning.
Okay, good.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's vulgar to me.
All right.
Is in Spanish vulgar?
Whoa, bleep that.
Is it? What does that mean?
The SH word.
Weird.
It has made it very difficult for me because they have a Disney princess.
Named that?
Oh, little princess. Poopy.
It's Merida. Oh, okay. From Brave, I think. Is it from Brave? What is it?
Merilda.
There's no L
She's
in it.
Definitely not right.
Jasmine.
No, you were right.
Jasmine will be 90% on a name. And she will make up the rest and say it with her full chest. It's
like,
Merida.
If you ever watch,
It's not Esmeralda.
If you ever watch people read Irish or like Scottish names,
yeah,
like that's, the spellings
it's
of them,
so bad. It's
literally like a paragraph of letters, and they're like trying to figure it out. Is that like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? And he's like, no, it's Riley.
Literally, I know a man whose name.
I just set off a bunch of really angry Irish people, too.
You know what? Don't...
Sorry.
Don't live up to that stereotype, okay, Ireland?
Ireland.
By the way...
When Irish eyes are smiling,
hey,
I'll be a smiling, too.
Two things. Number one, I knew a man, still know him, I guess, and on paper, his name is Fergus, but it's Fergus. Okay.
Mm.
Second thing, on St. Patrick's Day,
yeah,
you had us try, I wouldn't, right. But you had Joe do his best Irish accent.
Yeah.
And when I tell you that man sounds exactly like Mrs. Doubtfire.
You've Jiminy. My Doubtfire, dear.
Yes.
I said Jiminiva. What's her name?
You've Jiminy Doubtfire, dear.
It's
Is it?
Yeah. I watched that movie a million times.
Is it Janaya? Euphigenia.
Euphigenia, don't fight here.
Either way, you sound just
you
like...
Do.
Yeah.
Well.
Well.
We digress.
I don't even... I'm going to say I don't even know fully what that means. Like, what does the word mean?
The digress.
What's, yeah. What is it?
He just turned into the got him guy. Got him!
Okay. I'm looking it up. Leave the main subject temporarily. Okay. Great. Go off on good a job. Tangent.
Yep.
Diverge.
You are welcome.
Okay. I know how to use it like in the context, right? Like I've said it before.
Yeah.
And I've meant it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to know like what is this the antonym? Stick to the point. I think it would be more interesting if we just if we instead of saying I digress, we actually say I'm sticking to the point here.
It's probably the only time I ever use that word.
It's the rare thing is that we actually stick to the point, especially me. I will take us on.
Well, both of you. I don't do much rabbit trailing.
I did it really bad to a customer today.
Did you?
They probably still don't know what's going on.
He was like,
did we get our Krispy Kreme? He's like,
you got a good memory. Don't lose it. And I was like, oh. And then we started talking.
And then you were like talking about memory loss?
No, we were talking about things that we've remembered.
About each other?
Like things that like we've placed significance on that probably don't need it.
This is so funny because you just talked about this with us.
Yeah.
Like two episodes ago, and all of that pretty much ended up on the cutting room floor because we needed the time back. But that's so funny.
Yeah.
That's been on your mind.
It's weird. What was like? It was provoked by him in conversation.
Yeah,
you and like this like guy owns like a big. He owns like a big company around here, and like I do all their family stuff, and then his father passed, and I actually had been out there, and not too long before he passed, and so I was like telling him about like our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did do any work for the guy.
Today?
We just talked. No, today either. But I was just getting him a quote.
You're going to get fired if you keep this up.
Yeah, I don't actually do any my work boss, for the guy.
My boss is like, my boss is so
preoccupied. We're on our 18th quote.
My boss is so preoccupied, he doesn't even know what I'm up to.
I just fly under the radar.
But yeah, it was really interesting, and like so, this was probably a couple years ago that I actually was out there, and so I'm talking to the son who's, excuse me, he's like in his 60s,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, your dad, da 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 da. I'm like, your daughter and your son-in-law sent me out there, and he's like, really? And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, we actually ended up talking for like an hour and a half, and he's like, did you? And I was like, yep. I was like, yeah, because the neighbor's an HVAC guy and the neighbor was helping him with some stuff. And he's like, how do you remember that? I was like, just do.
Yeah. I remember like situational things. Mm. Like, yes, I remember that happening. This is the color shirt you were wearing. And I was in the second grade when it happened. Like that.
I think,
but like, when we were, the last time we talked about this, like if I'm being tested and somebody, see, it's more Bible situational.
Trivia, I'll fall off the wagon.
Right. But it's all situational. I won't remember the words you said to me, but I'll remember how you said it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's really important. And there's a biblical takeaway there. I don't know what it is.
Unless you're offended, then that's not good.
Well, Pastor Tim did a message maybe a month back about how you communicate with people, and you're better off shutting your mouth than to say something in a way that offends people, because you need to not grieve the Holy Spirit both in you and the people you're talking to.
He's been on like a study, like a
grieve deep not dive. The Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was telling Joe that he also needs to do a sermon on nonverbal communication. and how that can be just as
I brought it up.
Healthy or unhealthy.
I brought it up during his message. Yeah. You should watch it on the live stream.
Like just this last Sunday?
No.
Or a month ago?
A month ago. Because I had the mic. I had the mic to read for him.
Yeah.
And I said, I might have talked about it on the episode a little bit, but like nonverbal communication goes so far beyond just facial expression and body language,
yeah.
but it goes like what you're wearing,
mm-hmm.
how you I did a whole paper on nonverbal communication based on how people decorate their Christmas trees.
What?
Yeah. You can tell if they have kids, if they don't,
I suppose.
If they have cats, a lot. Yeah. There's people that will only put ornaments on the top half of their tree.
Yep.
You can tell if they're Christian or not.
Huh.
Yeah, there's a lot you can tell just from that.
Interesting.
You can also tell a lot. One of the nonverbal communication was like such a fun class for me.
I bet.
I did a paper on churches and how it's easy to identify if you put... I put three things side by side. I put a like a traditional, like a denominational church, like Catholic or Lutheran.
Yeah.
Stained glass, well lit, all that. The people were dressed nice. Then I put an evangelical church. Then I put a Maroon 5 concert. And you could not tell the difference between the evangelical church and the Maroon 5 concert, mm-hmm. except for that Maroon 5 said Maroon 5 on the bass drum. In the evangelical church, there was no cross. There was big screens.
Mm-hmm.
People were dressed in like hats and jeans and shorts and whatever. Like you couldn't, there was no pulpit. There was, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is not our topic for today, but I will say there's a huge increase in people converting to Catholicism right now.
Really?
Which is, I almost said predicted.
Orthodox.
Prophesied. In the Bible, that in the end times this will happen. But I think people are seeking
tradition,
reverence
and tradition.
And that's a huge miss. We've talked about it a lot lately, but in the evangelical church is a huge miss. Get the cross back in the church.
Yeah.
Show respect. Dress nice.
Don't say frickin' over the pulpit.
In the last...
Or any other cuss word. Yeah.
The last... I was just going to say, in the last, like... 4 years, it blows my mind how many times I'll be near the altar and some people you're praying with them and like people that are what I would consider, you know, a veteran Christian will swear, they'll curse.
Yeah.
And just in passing. And I'm always like it grieves the Holy Spirit. So bad.
There's a preacher that I found relatively recently, but I was really getting a lot out of his ministry. But then like two or three videos back that I caught, he said P-I-S-S over the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a gut punch to me.
Yeah.
I immediately...
It makes you shut down on... even if the rest of the message is good, it can... For like somebody like me who was raised around like holiness camps... Yeah. And people go nuts about that, but it's throughout every thread of the blood of Jesus Christ in the Gospels.
Oh, yeah. Be holy. Be
Seek
holy.
Ye first his kingdom and his righteousness.
Yes.
And then all these things will be added unto you.
Yeah.
All these things aren't like, he's not going to give you a bunch of opportunities to go party and booze it up. All these things that will be added onto you is the calls and the giftings of God. And you can't, a tree cannot produce good fruit and poison fruit from the same branches.
Yeah, you can't have dirty water and clean water coming out of the same spout. Here's the thing. It may make somebody more relatable to the unsaved in the moment, but then how do you graduate them out of that?
Correct.
Because now you're still in it.
Correct.
So how do you pull them out of that? And then it says in Romans, right? Like, don't be conformed to this world.
Yeah, we read that last week.
You know,
week.
I had situations where... God used certain people that were loose in my growing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I realized like God was taking me to a different place, like a place of righteousness and ministry.
Yeah.
I had to sit down with pastor and say, why did God use this person in my journey, and then they're out here living like this, and people are partaking of alcoholic beverages with them, and they were a part of my journey. And he said, just don't, sometimes the Lord uses a donkey to talk to the prophet.
He's that, like, that's what always comes to mind.
Don't strike the donkey, because you just, they were in a position where they were somebody that you were open to suggestion to.
Yeah.
You know what? I read like a bunch of articles. I love like communication and stuff like that. And so.
Me too.
Yeah, but I like it in a, like, not a professional sense. I like it in a...
I like it in both. That's why I took it up.
But, like, when people are open to you, they'll lean in. When people are closed off to you, they'll fold their arms, they'll cross their legs, they'll hide their reproductive system if they don't want to hear what you have to say. It is crazy the things that people do.
I listen to people like this.
She's like, here it is. Have at her, buddy. Yeah. We're going to get it.
What's your topic today? And no, I bring it in close, too. I put my leg right up on there.
What did you say I've been doing lately, pregnant? Man spreading.
I said, Heidi, I think the baby dropped a little yesterday. You were man spreading.
Sitting with her knees pointing to east and west.
South to north. Yeah. And because the baby was sitting on the chair.
Mm-hmm.
It's dropped significantly. Heidi is rounding third, headed home on this baby.
Like 4 weeks. You know, in worship yesterday.
That's what I was going to talk about.
Worship was fire yesterday.
Well, just talking about communication and communicating with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point where I was just worshiping and praying in the spirit. And like my spirit man was worshiping, but my mind was thinking.
Mm. That happens to me a lot. Yep.
And so I was on like a little journey about like, and I was singing in the spirit. And then all of a sudden, like the person next to me's voice changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, and I just continued to worship. And then pretty soon, like, I looked over because, like, this was a completely different voice. And I'm like, is there an angel here? And here's somebody. Yeah, somebody else from the back had come up. And at first I was like, wow, like Robbie's voice just got very.
Robbie, you're singing bass right now.
Well, all this like tremolo and stuff. I was like, And I look over it and Robbie. It's Derek.
Yeah. Shout out Derek.
And Derek's singing and it was.
I could hear you guys.
It was enjoyable.
So there was something different.
There was an anointing of worship yesterday.
It's so funny how you can go to a church service and you all just sing songs, right? But then all of a sudden, one Sunday, it like that anointing, like an anointing hits and then it hits different. And you can like not only tangibly feel it, but you can hear it. And like it's a very interesting thing. So I told Christina that I was also going to talk about this tonight because I'm sitting there worshiping. Which also, last week's episode or whenever, a previous episode,
whenever it goes
There was
up.
A moment where, like, I was just like, oh, yeah, this is great. And I'm just enjoying and thinking about people and thinking about the journey I've went through with, like, singing in the spirit. And I'm like, felt Which almost like I was having about. A conversation with God about, like, do we try and have a worship night where we just, like, that's something that you want from God, but is there a way to, like, help people to understand they don't have to feel they have to sound a certain way or they don't have to feel like their ability to sing in the spirit has to match exactly what the rhythm of the song is? But, like, I was like, worshiping, and, like, all of a sudden I was like, man, like, everybody is singing so beautifully.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is what God hears. And I open my eyes because I was like starting to cry. And I turn around and there's like only 5 people left up there.
I know.
I like heard like a choir singing, and I turned around, and a lot of people were gone. And I was like, wow, I heard something anointed, because this is not that many people.
That's happened a few times where people almost, it's like you hear instruments that we don't have.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm not and trying voices. To be like one of these I'm mystical, saying, no, hyper spiritual but, people, but
it was, here's the thing. That's true. It's real.
It is real.
And we've had multiple people say it now.
Yeah.
Unprovoked, unprompted. Like they've come to us and said something happened during worship and I could hear something different.
Yeah.
Well, just on a communication level, you know, it's like you're, when I have an intimate conversation with Heidi or you or pastors or even just other people in the church, like we expect a level of attention, right, to what we're saying. And it's like when you have those moments, like I just expect, like we are all going to be seeking to come into an accord to lift the name of Jesus up and just to worship and exalt him and praise him. And then you turn around and it's like, where'd everybody go? Like if just me reading about communication and you know, how people focus, or if their eyes are darting around, like they're manifesting symptoms that show, like, I don't put stock in what is going on here right now. I wish I was somewhere else. You know, their body language, you know, they're fidgety, they're looking at their phone or whatever. Like,
there was very little of that yesterday.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's times where there's a lot of that. And it's like in the moment of where we should be breaking through.
So as a worship leader, that's so hard when you're trying to engage people and usher in the presence of God and like cultivate an atmosphere where the Spirit can move. And you see people disengaged or uninterested. Mm-hmm. It can be very jarring. And I've had to come to a place where, because if you don't react appropriately in the moment, you can get angry, frustrated, and it will come out. Mm-hmm. And then 100%. It comes out in a rebuke or a reprimand.
Yeah.
And rather than doing that, rather than trying to lead worship by instruction, the most effective way to lead worship is for you to worship.
Yeah, that's
in spirit and in truth.
That's one thing I learned, like in a longer fast, is like even preaching, fasting, you're not ministering to your spirit or the spirit of those out there. You're ministering to God's spirit. So even like, so yesterday, Pastor Tim and Lynette are on a journey, and then like time, the Holy Spirit was doing amazing things. Time got away, so there was like not the time that he wanted to be able to bring the message that he had prepared. And so when I took the microphone over, because I usually...
Because people don't show up for part two. We've even noticed that with the podcast. If there's a part two, like half of the people have listened to Joe's testimony part two that have listened to part one. Mm. If you haven't listened to part two, you're missing out. That's ridiculous, because you got to hear how the story keeps going, and it's still going. You're still alive and breathing. So, but that's why he doesn't like to cut it off and split it up, because people don't show up for part two. But and it just worked out to where...
Well, when I usually will help pastor get mic'd up and stuff in that transitional time. And it's a good time,
because I'm going to start miking you up during worship.
Well, I can pray for him while he's getting ready. You know, and there's just something about honoring the call of God.
Yeah.
So in that, he says,
go ahead.
Can you just
preach?
Can you preach today? And I'm like,
instant in season and out.
Like, and I'm like, well, what do you want me to preach at it? I was the donut guy this morning.
You always got something.
But like...
Your message was fire. Are you kidding?
It was very quiet.
That's because you were hitting all the right notes. Yeah. Dude, that message you preach on Jude, I could just run up and punch you in the face. I'm so fired up.
I feel like
it took everything in me to not get the mic and be your hype woman.
That's a hard message to preach because I feel like that's like I can't do it justice for what God shows me in that. Personally, I don't feel I'll ever do the Holy Spirit justice.
Tell her what you said yesterday, though, on how it's so sacred to you that when you give it out, it almost feels like, I don't want to tell it.
Tell it.
No, because you were like talking about how like Jude, like that book became so alive to you, mm-hmm. and you like treasure it so much.
It's hard to share that revelation with other people and then watch them not catch it in the same way.
Yeah.
Then you want to beat it into them.
It is like, come on. Hard. Like you hope that people understand that.
I know.
Because when God paints a picture to you and you start to see it in a, so everything with God is very organized and he's got the courts of heaven and everything is legalities and law based.
Yeah.
You know, cause he's a God of justice. So, like, when he gives you,
you can litigate things with him, yeah.
And when he shows you, like, this is how you can grow, and it'll turn into this powerful situation if you lean in.
Well, do you know what I was thinking? I know that the Tower of Babel was in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. but to me, there's like it's so frequent that you can spot the worldly alternative to the godly thing, to the holy thing. And to me, it's like they were trying to build this tower
to reach God.
And he literally gave us the Holy Spirit to pray ourselves up in our most holy faith. We can touch him via the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like that's the true thing. You don't need the Babel.
The you know idea what I mean? that when humans get in an accord and they work and strive together, they can reach heights that God was like, wow, like they're gonna
these get, works and greater.
They're gonna get high enough on their own accord to hurt themselves. Can you imagine? They'd get so far that thing eventually would fall,
right?
And then it would be mass perish.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, he's like, okay, one, you're in idolatry, and two, I don't want you all to die right now, so I'm just going to confuse your tongues and then scatter you, right? When we have that same kind of drive, but our goal in common is to see God, the name of Jesus lifted
glorified,
high, God glorified, like the heights you can reach. But the problem is you have to be so self-aware of things like pride.
Right.
And I don't know.
Well, he says
so many different,
you know, if he's lifted up, he'll draw all men to him.
Yeah.
Like then it's like he's like a magnet. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to strive for it because as long as like he'll draw you up as high as you're willing to exalt him and lift him up in your life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yesterday I also had a great experience, like very similar. So it's obviously anointed if all three of us.
Which is crazy because last week for me was a dump of a week.
Yeah.
There was so many weird, awful spiritual things. And
yeah.
So I haven't been able to get on my knees since I got pregnant.
Yeah.
And
I noticed that.
Yesterday. I had like a hurty knee. I have a hurty knee for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so convicted during worship of like, just do it. Like, it'll be fine. Like, just get on your knees. I know you're super pregnant, but like, it'll be fine. Like,
somebody will help you
crawl up if you have to.
Yeah.
And so I did, and it was fine. And I actually got up all by myself.
Yeah. I saw you do it, and I was like, atta girl.
Yeah.
She's been wanting to do that.
Because it's that sacrifice thing. It's like, what can I bring?
Yeah.
right now to you that is going to kind of kill me a little bit, but it's going to like just show my sacrificial state here. And then when I get up, like I literally hear these. I was worshiping too, but your mind kind of still is present. And these beautiful angelic male voices. And I was like, this is amazing. I felt actually in almost like a state of like, I get to be here right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy that I get to literally experience three men, full grown men, like put their absolute full heart
into worship,
which is so funny.
If you're listening, please know that deeply blesses
so a deeply woman. It like and slices. It deeply
blesses God.
Yeah. Yes, but I've like the Lord was taking me on like a true worship thing, so yeah. It's very interesting on the timing there with that. And so I'm like literally sitting there and I'm still worshiping God, but I'm also just like, wow, like this is like a moment right now that I'm just going to absolutely bask in. Because it was so beautiful listening to these men just give their everything to God. And all of a sudden, my mind also went on a journey, which is so funny how your minds go on a different journey. This is how Holy Spirit talks to you separately on your own issues or an issue that he wants to address or anything. Is Joe went there, but then my brain went to this right here is the reason why the company that you keep is so... So important.
Yes.
Because I'm literally in a moment right now where I'm surrounding myself. They were surrounding themselves.
Yeah.
With the exact company that they needed to have at that particular moment in order to create that atmosphere.
Yeah. Can I tell you one thing? And then I have something to add to that. Worship was so profound yesterday. That I got in the car with Max this morning and I said, I couldn't sleep. And this happens to me a lot on Sundays. And he goes, me neither. Because it permeates you to a degree that like your flesh can't handle it. I was getting ready for bed at like 11 o'clock at night. I still was getting goosebumps. I was still like, anytime I would reflect back on the morning service, it was like the Holy Spirit would be all over me all over again.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah.
I couldn't quiet my mind to a certain degree. It was like my flesh was fighting with my spirit. Like my spirit just wanted to continue worshiping. I couldn't get anything to calm down. Mm-hmm. The songs were ringing in my head to the point I couldn't sleep. Like it was like, do I need to drive back out to church and keep on going right now? Like, that's where I was at. And Max was like, and I said, this happens to me on Sundays sometimes where like, I literally can't wind down from it. I can't sleep.
Yeah.
And he said, I had the exact same thing last night. I couldn't come back down from it.
That's crazy.
And so we were just like...
So that's five of us now that got to experience. You know what I was... Yeah. So, which means if you were at service yesterday and you're not feeling...
We would love to hear.
Not feeling the way that we're feeling, you need to check yourself.
You're at service before you were feeling it? Write it in the comments.
Yeah.
What I was meditating on during worship was the description of the Lord in Revelations. Mm. And I was seeing the lightning.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. It was like... And like... You know, that's a different, you know, place to talk about and think about. But, you know, sometimes, like, God gave you imagination for a reason. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I like to just sit while I'm worshiping and think about the train of his robe. I like to think about his feet and the color that it explains, like, they're like bronze. And, and then as you're just kind of going up his person and you get to that place where his hair was whiter than wool and all of a sudden there was lightning coming out of his mouth and all these things and it's like, wow, and you got seraphim just circling. Singing holy, 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 you know, and then you have the witnesses throwing their crowns down, you know, and prostrating themselves before the Lord.
Yeah. It's I saw, so about the company you keep, Heidi. Mm-hmm. I saw a video, I want to say like a year or two ago, and it was actually like a team building event, like mm-hmm. at work. Yeah. Not my work, but someone was at work and they were filming it.
Yeah.
And it was like this group of like three or four girls. I say girls, they're in their 20s probably. And it was like somebody was leading them in like dance moves or whatever. It was like a company party or something. And one girl was like really engaged and having fun. And then all of a sudden she looked over her shoulder at the other three girls and they were like this. And she immediately stopped.
Yeah.
And she was having fun and she was engaged and she was really like enjoying herself.
Yeah.
And then she looked back at her friends and you could see that she immediately felt stupid and she immediately felt like, okay. Mm-hmm. They must be judging me or something. Yeah. And like her entire countenance changed.
Yeah.
And their attitude, that crowd she was with, they robbed her of that experience. And that same thing can happen in worship. You need to watch who you sit by at church. Mm. Truly.
Yeah.
Because like if you sit next to a sourpuss, like get up and move, go up front, go to the altar.
Yeah.
Like get alone with God.
Yeah.
Well, even
you know what I mean?
So,
but like, yeah, go ahead.
If you think about worship, right? When you're in adversities in life, when you're in battles and trials and tribulations, you're facing giants, you're struggling to exist. That's the time you need to worship, because those moments where you're able to completely depend and rely on God, his mm-hmm. grace and his mercy, right? So like, why do you fast? You fast because you want to give up physical sustenance, like the nutrients that you need from food to energize you, to build your body, to keep you going, all the fuel. You give it up and you say, Lord, I'm going to rely wholly on your spiritual nourishment to keep mm-hmm. me going, yeah. right? So when you're worshiping in a place where you're out of gas, mm-hmm. it's just like fasting. You're relying on a spiritual endowment, a spiritual infilling in that moment where the Lord can come and actually sanctify you and fill you with his spirit, and you have this different kind of worship, and it's more fragrant to the Lord when it comes before him, because he knows, like, by the flesh right now, in your circumstances, you probably wouldn't be worshiping him. Mm-hmm. Or you probably shouldn't be if you were totally given over to the flesh. If you're having that bad of a time, that's the time when your praises are worth more, yeah. right?
And like what sticks out to me about what you said is like you could be at the end of your rope. Mm-hmm. And again, the people that you have around you matter.
100%. Mm-hmm.
Because if you're having a Moses situation where you need to keep your hands up.
Yep.
You need Aaron.
Yep.
And who was the other guy?
I never can remember his name. There was two of them though.
Her.
Yeah.
Her.
H-U-R.
Her. Yeah. Her. I don't know how to say things. Leave me alone. I don't speak.
Oh, I was thinking of his sister. No. Yeah.
No, like H-U-R.
Yeah. H-U-R. Holding up his arms. You need the people that are like, I'm going to help you get in the presence of God and stay in the presence of God. I'm going to cut a hole in the roof. I don't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
You and I were talking. I was like, your circle matters so much, and who you keep near you mm-hmm. matters so much, because I can't remember who the one guy was healed because of his friend's faith. Who is that? Jamie, look it up. I'm just kidding.
I know. Carlos really does need to become our fact checker.
Honestly, Carlos, look alive, man.
You know, while you're looking that up, one of my favorite places to teach out of when it comes to like discipleship
and
evangelizing mm-hmm. is when you go into John 4 and Jesus meets the woman at the well. And she's talking to him. She's like, our forefathers worship this mountain. Mm-hmm. But you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where it's necessary and proper to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither merely in this mountain nor merely in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not know what you are worshiping. Sometimes we're in a position where we're new enough, we haven't read the word enough, we haven't had enough experience in his spirit, mm-hmm. we don't really even know how to worship, right? He says, you Samaritans do not know what you are worshiping. You worship what you do not comprehend. Do you comprehend God? Because there is so much that he can do that I've not seen that would probably, it would kill me. Right? My flesh couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you think about it in those terms, you worship what you do not comprehend. We do know what we are worshiping because they had this firsthand experience with the law and being led out of captivity and stuff. So they seen miracle after miracle after deliverance after deliverance of God. So the Jews knew, right? Mm-hmm. We do know what we are worshiping. We worship what we have knowledge of and understand. For after all, salvation comes from among the Jews. But this is where it gets interesting, right? Now we're coming back to us too, because we're talking about the Gentile, the grafting in. A time will come, however, indeed, it is already here. He's telling her, like, you don't even have to wait for me to die and ascend yet. Mm-hmm. He said, a time will come, however, it is indeed already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, reality. The context of the word truth right there is reality.
Reality,
you will worship in spirit and in reality, for the Father is seeking just such people as these as his worshipers. God is a spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, in reality. So you can't put on a facade up there and be like, oh. Like, you have to get real with him. Yeah. You have to do it in reality. Like, you have to say, you know what, I don't feel like worshiping. Like, my flesh is fighting me so bad right now. My circumstances are weighing me down. Like, I don't feel like doing this. I better get up there. Mm-hmm. I better make an open show. I just had somebody talk to me about, you know, what do I do if an evil spirit comes? And it's, well, the Bible says resist them and it'll flee from you.
Yeah.
But you know what you do in the meantime? Start throwing the name of Jesus around and all the power and the spirit and truth that mm-hmm. it holds.
Not as a cuss.
Because those things.
But in reality. Yeah.
Those things are not going to stand too long in a room with you glorifying the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They know what their future is.
Right.
There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They don't want to sit and listen to you in confidence talk about how good your God is. They'll leave.
Right.
Yeah. Finish your paralyzed thing, and then I have a thing I wanted to talk about.
All right. yes, we were talking about, I referenced tearing the roof off, and the guy being healed because of his friend's faith. That's the same story of the paralytic man. Mm-hmm. So it's in Luke 5. And it says, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Because they were convinced, like, all we have to do is get our friend to Jesus.
Yes.
They knew faith.
Yeah.
They had the faith.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, when he saw their faith, not the paralytic man, mm-hmm. not the paralyzed man's faith, when he saw his friend's faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was such a profound miracle that was another reason for the Pharisees to flip out.
Yeah.
Because they were like, who are you to forgive this man's sins? But it's so, like, that's the type of friend
that you need.
That you need.
Yep, it's vital.
Friend, brother.
Yep.
Like,
companion.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Research suggests that the people you spend your time with, or your company,
mm-hmm, if you will,
can significantly influence your behavior, habits, and even your goals, because as humans, we are social creatures prone to social contagion, yeah, and emulation. So it says humans are inherently social and tend to mimic and adopt the behaviors, emotions, and ideas of those around them, a phenomenon known as social contagion.
Yep.
Okay.
We see a lot of that right now.
Yes. Well, think back also to, like, when you were a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
On words that you used or ways that you spoke. Like, I would start to sound like the people I hung out with. Like, I would say things that they say, or I would say it the way that they would say it with the same voice inflection. Mm-hmm. Like, you end up you're literally emulating your surroundings, especially at, like, teenager ages. So research has shown that our habits, okay,
mm-hmm,
are influenced by our immediate social circles. For example, surrounding yourself with highly motivated and achieved oriented individuals can actually increase the likelihood of setting your achieving goals for your own life. Okay. So you hang out with high achievers and you have a very good probability that you're going to be a high achiever. You hang out with people
that's why you see families
sit on a couch all day. Yes.
Because you're 100%. Surrounded by that.
Yeah. The people that you choose to spend your time with can either lift you up or pull you down. So be very mindful of who is influencing your life.
Well, I understand too that you're in this world, but not of it. Like, mm-hmm, people have to start applying that scripture to themselves, because you cannot, once you've received the invitation to the wedding, right? So you've yep, made a choice. Lord, come into my life. You be my Lord and Savior. I worship you and you alone. You are the only way to heaven.
Yeah.
You are the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. Right? So you come to that place. People cannot be what they have not seen nor heard.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right? So you have to lead by example in every aspect.
Yeah.
If you sit and share a row with people in church that are, you know, younger and they're just kind of, this is a social thing for them. They're kind of half in, half out. You lead by example. If you feel, even if they're older people, you feel that they're not quite there yet, press in, because they cannot sit around a campfire and then leave and not smell like smoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
So even up front yesterday, right? So even that social emulation, like, I'm literally getting, like, all of these, like, thoughts are hitting me. Mm-hmm. Like, this right here is what, like, we need to choose to have our circles be like.
Yeah. Well, it's got to become your normal.
Correct. Because if your circles are like this, or even things that make you uncomfortable. So even, like, evangelism, for example, if you literally put yourself around these people all the time, eventually you're going to start to be the average of the company that you're keeping.
Yeah. It's like goldfish grow to the size of the tank they're 100%. In. Yeah.
I want to read real quick 2 Corinthians, because mm-hmm, it's talking about this. So it says, so it's 2 Corinthians 6:11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Okay?
Mm-hmm. This is something I speak about often, though, is when it comes to ministry and being in a body, a part of the body of Christ, people are always in discord this way, right? What happened yesterday in worship is a whole bunch of people got this way.
Mm-hmm.
They got right this way.
Yep.
Every one of those people up there in that moment, they weren't trying to worship with each other.
No.
They were doing something personal, and then it
merged.
You hit an accord, because yep, everybody was focused this way,
yeah,
and not this way. Like, you can't have a good marriage until both people are aligned this way. Because when you pastor's wife, the worship minister, the the evangelist, the prophet, when you're all focused this way, all this is going to come together, because you can't be focused on the Lord and be in discord this way. You'll start to understand the call of the people that are around you.
Do you have more of that scripture?
For sure, but we should tap on that.
Yes, because immediately I thought of Psalm 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Mm-hmm. But you have to get unity this way first.
Yes, and that's verse one. Verse mm-hmm. two is, it's like, and this is what I feel like you were trying to describe yesterday. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went into the skirts of his garments. It permeates. That's what I was dealing with that. It's like as the dew of Hermon and the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Mm-hmm. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. It's like it permeates. It soaks in. It mm-hmm. seeps into the cracks.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's even ointment. Interesting that he's talking about a cord this way and not yeah. this way. Because it makes me wonder. We hit an accord this way.
Yeah.
But yet the Lord was so sweet and compassionate that mm-hmm. he allowed. It's because for us to have thoughts, for us to recognize there was an accord hit, we were still in the spirit, but yeah. it was like we were able to like recognize, like my mind wasn't going off.
No.
But I was able to recognize that we were in an accord moment. Even though at that moment I was looking lateral as well. You know what I mean? It was like yeah. a full circle.
A moment like that is a gift from God, honestly.
When the Lord was in the crowd, people were aware.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when your flesh comes in contact with a moment like that, you become very aware.
Yeah, I was definitely, but it wasn't breaking the accord.
Yeah.
That's the interesting part. Mm-hmm. You were like aware without it breaking the accord.
Mm-hmm. Well, you become reverent and you don't want to break the accord.
No, you don't want to be the guy that breaks the accord.
Yeah. Well, and
like, there was two times where I thought, man, I just could hug these guys right now. And I thought, don't touch them because what God's doing is important.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I felt that bask in this. Mm-hmm. Like just be here for it.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Can I finish the second mm-hmm. Corinthians thing? I'm going to start over. So, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Mm-hmm. Now, in return for the same, I speak to you as children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Mm-hmm. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Mm-hmm. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Do you see what he's trying to establish here? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Mm-hmm. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That the company that you keep is so vital, because it can literally take you from a one accord moment to not having one at all. Like if we would have made decisions yesterday, right? Because everything is a decision. Like you even talk about this with spiritual things. Everything is spiritual. It is either black or it is white. Yep. It is either Christ or it is Antichrist. Every conversation, every word, everything, mm-hmm. literally everything.
Yes.
Is and that actually backs that up when he's talking about all these things with lawlessness and righteousness.
And it's more convenient and comfortable to, like, there are people that are going to hear you say that and they're going to be like, she's hyper-spiritualizing everything.
100% no.
And that is a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie from the pit in order to keep you in your place of complacency and comfort.
Do you want
to
know why?
You also cannot.
Hold on. Do you want to know why I know it's not a lie? because I fought him on that for years.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was over-spiritualizing it. Yeah. And I was like, give me a break, man.
Right.
Like, I literally was having major trouble getting to that spot with him, that every single word, every conversation, every moment in life is spiritual.
We just had a conversation about this, him and I. Because he said this thing was cursed. And I had to reconcile. Because I was like, but is it?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's not blessed.
Honestly. So there's like that scripture even helps with that.
Yeah.
That it's literally either a Christ or Antichrist.
Do you remember that conversation? We just had it.
Yeah, we were talking about a scarab.
Yeah. And I, no, not the scarab. The other one about a rock or something.
Mm, yeah.
And I was like, but is it?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If I don't, if, yeah, you were looking at it from a standpoint of like, well, if I have spiritual authority and I'm not giving way to the fact that that may or may not have a curse on it. It's got no power in my life. Like you were going from that angle, but
which could also be true. But the fact of the matter is like, if it's not blessed,
yeah.
What is it?
Because there's only two options.
100%. Like literally, there's only two entities in this world.
There's people are like, no, there's a third. There's not a third option.
No, there's no gray.
There's no gray.
No.
And
unless you can show me a biblical precedent and a scripture to back that up, there isn't one.
But even with that, even with the company I was keeping just yesterday, right? Which is why it was so highlighted to me how important it is to figure out who your crowds are. On a daily basis at work, on a weekend basis with friends, on a Sunday basis with church people, like all the time, literally, who are your crowds?
Yeah.
Because I could have chose yesterday to literally stay with the, I'm super pregnant right now, I need to sit on this bench state. I could have, and that's a spiritual choice. I could have literally either chosen to like go up to the altar or to stay seated. I made the absolute, like, I need to be a part of this. I don't want to miss this.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at THE Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.